chaos. Dialogue.
My name is Jacob Wren.
My name is Nicole Burish.
And how should we start?
I don't know. I feel like you and I actually talked a lot about what interdisciplinarity is, which is maybe a bit outside of what the conversation was about, but I sort of come from outside of that, and I think you articulated some things for me that were really, really interesting about why that definition was interesting and important for you.
I mean, one thing I'm aware of is when I work in visual art, in a way all, or not all, but much visual art is multidisciplinary or interdisciplinary, and it's very normal in visual art, maybe not if you're a painter or like, in fact, painting is a part of visual art that I don't even know there's still people doing it, even though I'm told there are.
Apparently, yeah.
Yes, and apparently they sell a lot still.
Yeah, totally.
But in other fields, like literature or theater or dance, there are people engaged in interdisciplinary approach, but often they're pushed out of their field, and they either can compromise and, like, let's say, make more theater,
yeah,
or they can be stubborn, and then they end up in interdis or multi, or and there's many different names for it
because
globally.
They don't feel like they belong in
mainly they're forced out of the funding structures and often the venues.
Yeah.
And then they have nowhere, they have no way to access funds and nowhere to perform.
Yeah.
Or nowhere to present work.
Well, and for me, the question that I kept sort of coming back to, which is maybe not, again, I feel less related to the discussions, but for me was personally coming from a visual arts background and specifically from an artist-run context and a practice that is not about painting, that I feel sort of entirely comfortable and supported by the visual arts in terms of what for me is a very interdisciplinary and multidisciplinary practice. So I think I've spent the last couple of days really questioning around the relationship between, and maybe in visual arts there is sort of more of a space for that kind of, what I often think of as a post-disciplinary practice. We're supposed to be reflecting about 10 years from now how people might think about these kinds of questions. But what the sort of trends around interdisciplinarity and post-disciplinarity and multidisciplinarity right now might mean for where that is headed. Maybe that's another question we could think about.
I mean, I'm like, let's say, I've been writing about visual art for 10 years, and I've been doing projects in artist-run centers for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, I was mainly doing projects in performing arts venues. And when we performed in performing arts venues, pretty much everyone, before they had said anything about our work, would say, this isn't theater, this isn't dance. And then maybe they would say something else about the work. It was always like they would have to punch us in the head before. And then in an artist-run center milieu, they just talk about what it is. So it's very positive in that sense, the switch. But then also very quickly, when you get over that positive feeling, you see how encouraged it is in visual art to have art historical references to previous works of visual art in your practice. And for me, this is a little bit like what I was trying to escape from in theater. Like in theater, I was supposed to do a Shakespeare play to prove that I was like good artist. And in visual art, like I'm forced to like reference Robert Barry in a catalog essay to prove that I'm a good artist. And I'm not against art history. I'm not against the fact that all work has historical precedent. But I was really trying to break away from the requirement of historical precedent to show what you do is valid and to say, like, okay, there's nothing new, but let's try and make something new anyway, let's say. And for me, a little bit, this is like interdisciplinary or post-disciplinary. This is one of the things it needs is to not require historical reference in order to say it's a value.
That totally, I don't know if, and again, you're in a weird position where you sort of didn't necessarily hear all the stuff that happened, but that came, that was a thing that came up in some of the plénière at the end of the day, the idea that you wouldn't necessarily be needing to base your project on sort of previous historical like backing or knowledge, not only for the person producing the thing, but also for the audience. And I really, I had super mixed feelings about that, that that proposition, that that you that it would be, well, this idea of sort of an empty space, l'espace vide, or a kind of a blank slate, I guess, for would be the best English translation. I don't know if that's possible for any artwork now, but I think it's a really, really beautiful idea that you could make a work removed from too much historical baggage, and that you could expect that from your audience, that they would show up with a kind of openness and willingness to engage that wouldn't also be influenced or affected by art, in parentheses, historical baggage.
I mean, it's very basically the 20th century avant-garde, you know, motivation, like we will break from history and make something new. And I don't, it's not about it being possible. It's about, I don't know, like a different kind of desire that is activated when you go, I'm going to start from scratch. I don't need, and it's also about quality. Like, it's not that I actually think it's possible to make something new, but I know I'm against the ideas that the only markers of quality are things that happened in the past. And I do think that's reemerged, like so many contemporary forms of art came out of, you know, historical breaks in the 20s or 60s. But now I feel one of the ways they're like intensely recuperated to a point that I actually like, it drives me crazy sometimes, is like I see so many works where the basis is a historical referent using these, you know, post-conceptual forms. Yeah. But it's like, you have the post-conceptual form, but history is the basis. So what have we, where is the progress?
I think that's really popular right now. I think there's a certain interest in revisiting or recycling in contemporary art and in popular culture. And I would wonder how much something like that would enter into a kind of interdisciplinary vocabulary as well. And again, like I think in the notion of interdisciplinarity, as much as there were conversations today about breaking down disciplinary boundaries or sort of reconstructing the paradigm of disciplinarity, interdisciplinarity relies on the existence of disciplines. Yes?
No, yes, kind but, of? Well, I mean, there's different things. Like, all art is interdisciplinary.
Yes.
Yes, but can there be, like, let's say an edge where that's the focus and where one discipline doesn't reign, and mm-hmm. also where the historical reference of one discipline don't reign? Because I know if I do something in a visual art context and I reference Robert Barry, I'm going to get approval for it. And if I do something in a theater and reference, I don't know, the Living Theater or Shakespeare, I'm going to get approval for it. But is there a space where that's not the marker of quality, my ability to reference these things or to know about these things or to build off these things?
Yeah. Well, and is that, I think that that is a valuing of quality in the present moment that is quite heightened, that is how we determine quality is sort of in regards to a historical.
And this is also
that change? Like,
this is one of the ways the disciplinary boundaries reassert themselves with a vengeance. Because, I mean, you know, in the 20s, I mean, disciplinary boundaries were breaking down like crazy, again in the 60s. But, you know, it's like you break the walls down and they rebuild them higher, twice as thick. And you break the walls down again and then they rebuild them higher and twice as thick again.
Yeah.
And you start to feel like, I mean, I prefer working in visual art than I do to theater. But still in visual art, I feel a very heavy need to make use of certain history in order to get approval. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't always want approval. Sometimes I want people to hate me, but it's like I also don't want to know the ways to get approval are so easy. I want to be in a space where I have to gain approval by inventing something.
Where gaining approval is not a formulaic process. Yeah, totally. Well, I said to you too, I think right now in like visual arts in particular, like I think maybe if the visual arts have been more comfortable recently with possibly, like maybe that's a thing we are putting forward, a more interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary approach. And that's certainly reflected in the way that visual arts education has gone in the last few years. At the same time, I think there's been sort of a return to disciplinarity in visual arts recently. And again, this comes from an educational background, but this sort of reaffirmation of kind of disciplinary lines in certain post-secondary programs around craft or new media or like a return, a renewed interest in painting that I find like almost kind of reactionary, like that thing you're talking about building the walls twice as thick. Like, I really wonder about that kind of pendulum swing between a move towards post-disciplinarity followed by a sort of re-entrenchment in. But I'm thinking about it through like what's been happening in post-secondary. But
yes, I had a text in this O Canada catalog for the O Canada exhibition. And, you know, this opening essay where she said she, you know, toured more artist studios in Canada than any curator ever. And what she's realized is there's a return to craft in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that was fascinating.
And I mean, I'm so against that as a way of framing Canadian art. But also, well, I mean, it's the only way anything happens. You know, the pendulum swings one way and then it swings back the other way, you know, towards post-discipline and then post-disciplinarity and then back towards craft.
But I think, I mean, and you know, my background is in craft and craft theory. And I think in this context, I am probably the weirdest person here because craft has largely been about super, like what hyper-disciplinary vocabularies in some sense. But I think in this current, like there is a kind of craft, a revival or a resurgence of interest in craft or in the hand or in like making things in visual art. But often in a way, currently that's been really sort of appropriative too, where someone just goes and makes things in clay because it looks mushy or it looks handmade. But I wonder, I think simultaneously in that is this sort of interest in what it means to master a technique or the history of a particular medium or material. That isn't all bad. Like there's a part of me that still wants to believe in the specificity of knowledge that comes from working with a particular material or medium or discipline over an extended period of time. And I don't think that that forecloses the ability to work in in fact, I think that actually augments and supplements interdisciplinarity. If I know a lot about ceramics and I also know a lot about performance art, and I mean, that's from my own, that to me, that's really, really interesting, which is different than the kind of skipping along the surface of disciplines or mediums that I think happens in a kind of post-disciplinary model, which is about picking and choosing rather than knowing more than one discipline in a profound way. Does that make any sense?
I mean, it's really true. I mean,
like, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing now if you didn't have a profound investment in knowledge of theater or of literature.
I might.
Maybe. I don't know, but I wonder if it's a question that I have.
Yes. I mean, I've always done a lot of different things simultaneously. And, you know, theater people would say I've never done real theater. Literature people would say I've never done real literature. I've always done these highly hybrid work that's more about questioning the medium than it is about, you know, going deep into the medium. But at the same time, I mean, the history of, like, you know, the history of novels is full of, you know, Don Quixote or Tristram Shandy, you know, novels that tried to break the novel or change the novel. But then those things are kind of written out of the main history or are seen as, I mean, I think anything is great as long as there's no one telling you there's only one way to do it.
Yes.
And I feel like visual art is the most pluralistic. And, you know, you could kind of have a ladder of hierarchical art forms, you know. But, you know, like when I started theater, there was a postmodern theater wave where, you know, theater was exploding and many different approaches to theater were becoming more practiced and more popular, more, maybe not popular, but more, more. And, you know, over the past 20 years, I've watched all of those forms pushed out, and the traditional theater, or what is celebrated as the traditional theater, dominate. And it shows how threatened the people making that kind of theater are by things that are more interesting. And it's always been a question to me, like, exactly why visual art manages to have the variety it does. And I always come to the conclusion it has something to do with the market.
I thought you said it was Marcel Duchamp the other day.
Yes, but theater had its Marcel Duchamp, but it didn't become as hegemonic. You know, like, theater has had lots of radical figures that could have been Marcel Duchamp, but they were pushed aside. And not totally written out of the history, but not celebrated the way Duchamp is, who's, you know, over-celebrated. Mm-hmm. And I do think in the end it has something to do with the market, because theater is about selling 800 tickets a night.
Bums in seats.
Yes, well, and that always brings entertainment into it. Well, artists can sell a work of art to one crazy person.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I think, and we talked about this too, like the tendency in visual art right now is also increasingly towards a kind of commercialized, marchandalisé, like a kind of commodified, commercialized version of art consumption. Divertissement was the word that came up too, the kind of entertainment or edutainment at its worst. So I really wonder that about visual art, if maybe it has historically been less reliant on sort of market systems, if that is shifting now. And like I said, I think at the last AGM for the LCIQ, the conversations we were having there were so very similar to the conversations that happened today, and a real tangible concern around shifting funding structures and a real consciousness around the erosion of public funding and what that means for the future of a medium that has relied on a sort of infrastructure of public funding that might not be what it used to be. So maybe that, if that's historically what visual art has avoided, like, I think that that's changing right now for visual art and for inter-art.
Yes. Inter-arts. Yes, we're living in the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Oh, no.
How long is this? How long are
how
we,
long
supposed,
are we
to talk?
Supposed to talk for? Are we done? Cool. Like, maybe on that joyous note, maybe we can stop.